This is the True Voice Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Back in 2011, I started a social business agency called True Voice Media. In 2013, I launched this podcast because my audience told me that they wanted to learn more about how social media could help them grow their business, but they wanted it to be interesting and without all the standard social media hype and BS. Just someone who will give it to them straight with honest, simple strategies that they can use today. If you're a new listener and that sounds like what you want too, listen to this episode. And if you love it, subscribe to our show. We'd love to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started. This is episode 54, and for those of you that don't know, 54 is the chemical symbol on the periodic table for xenon, which is one of my favorite elements. Today, I have Shannon Presson, and she is on the show to talk to us about something that is very near and dear to my heart. So Shannon, tell all the people, what's your story?
Oh, gosh, you know, that can be a loaded question, because where do I begin, you know, reeling back the time. My story is I love stories. And, you know, there's a saying in our world that the reason that God created so many people was because she loves stories. And stories are how we share our experience. It's how we make sense of our world. We're very language oriented. It's one of the gifts of being human. We need to put that language in the context. So yeah, stories are what run my world.
Good. I want to talk to you all about stories today, because in my world, so you're a coach, which I'll let you go through your full bio in a second. But what I want to just set up is that in my world, in the world of social media and content marketing, there's this word that gets thrown around all the time. It's called storytelling. And we use it as sort of a catch-all for just jibber-jabbering and talking all over the web. And I want to talk to you about the real meat behind stories. And I want you to kind of guide us so that we have a deeper and better understanding for the people listening about what it means to actually be a storyteller. So why don't we start with, you know, expand on your story. Tell us, what's your background and how did you get to the point that you are, and what do you do now day to day that you can say you're immersed in stories?
So my trajectory I left home really early. I left home when I was about 16, and I kind of fumbled around a bit trying to figure out where my passion was and what really lit me up. And when I was 24 years old, I hit a serious brick wall, and I realized that everything that I believed about my world and quote unquote every story I ever told myself was a lie, basically. And when I recognized that every story I had been telling myself wasn't my truth, I didn't know what to do. I literally, it was like hitting that black wall and going, oh my God, if nothing I believed is true, then what is true and how do I find that? And it was the start of a really amazing conversation that I had with, you know, some power greater than myself, whatever you want to put on that. And I realized that I was really going to have to surrender to what was supposed to come. And I wound up getting into travel, which turned into a 20-year career as an event planner. I was super fortunate. I got to work for an amazing company, took me all over the world. And when I turned 50, I, you know, according to USA Today, I had a better chance of being hit by lightning than getting married. But I did actually get married in my late 40s and realized I didn't really want to live on the road anymore. So I retired and got kind of bored and started an IT company. My husband's a software architect, and I'm just really good at managing people. So we started this company. It was extremely successful until 2008. And when the economy caught up with California, we went from $2 million in revenue to zero in about 3.5 hours. It was probably the most stunning thing that's ever happened to me. And it brought home a question to me, which is, do I love this so much I would be willing to do it twice? I'd be willing to build the company back up again. And I realized I didn't really love it that much the first time. So if I didn't love it that much the first time and I wasn't willing to do the work to create it again, what was it that was really driving me? What was really important? And I kind of took a couple years off and spent some time doing what I called creative exploration, and I realized that I had a particular gift that when I listen to people, when I hear their stories, when they tell me about what's going on in their world, there is something inside of me that connects to what doesn't work. And, you know, we live in a very positive, very gung-ho society. We're the Nike society, just do it, you know, feel the pain, do it anyway, feel the fear or whatever. But what I noticed was people were really struggling, and they didn't really know why they were struggling, but they could tell a story about what that was like. And my superpower was the capacity to hear in that story what the deeper story was. So that's kind of how I got into coaching, was I realized that there were people out there that really wanted to create change and transformation for themselves, but they didn't have a doorway into their own innate wisdom, and I could help them with that.
So you said a bunch of things, and if you can hear the clicking in the background, that's me taking a couple notes on things that you said that I just really have to ask you more about. So one thing you said was that you heard the deeper story within the story, and this connects back to something else that you said at the beginning of what you were talking about, which is the stories that we tell ourselves, you know, the story we have about ourselves and that belief that it's true, and then the idea of that those walls coming crumbling down. And I think that in your telling of what you've been through and getting from kind of point A to point B and now being here and working with people, it seems to me that the only way you can truthfully tell your story is if you know the story that you're telling yourself, because that's the only way that that's going to be authentic and match up. So what is it that you're doing when you're working with people to help them get that story out of themselves? Does it start with them exploring themselves, or does it begin with them kind of just rambling on and you poking around in it?
Well, I believe that there are four stories within everyone. There are four core stories that we all work with all the time. And if we begin to understand what those stories are, we can create really extraordinary change for ourselves. So the first story everyone tells is the challenge story. And we all have them. There's something we want that we don't have. So, for example, maybe you aspire to have a greater audience, or there's things that you haven't done yet and you want to do them, but you're not sure how to make it, or it's in front of you. It's a desire.
That's so definitely one of them. Desire. So anybody listening, okay, Tell your friends.
So we all have a desire. There's something we want. So the next story after the challenge story is the dream story. So if the passion and purpose fairy was to come down and hit you with her magic wand and say, okay, Jeff, you can have whatever you want as long as you can name it specifically, is really the first story that we work with. Because what I want to know is what lights you up. Where's your heart? What's the high giggle factor is what I call it. That thing that when you think about it, if it could come true, you would not only not be able to stop laughing, but there would be an element of terror attached to it. It's like, oh my God, who would I be if that actually came true? Because what I know about change and transformation is we have to have something to focus on. We have to have a direction. It's like going on vacation. You have to tell the travel agent where you want to go in some capacity. Otherwise, you know, she's going to send you, you know, somewhere you don't want to go. So the first focus is, what is it you want? What's the dream? What's pulling you forward? And sometimes for people, it's a question of, well, I don't know. I don't know what I want. Then the opposite question is, well, what don't you want? Like if Passion Purpose Fairy said, you never have to experience this again, what would that be? Mm-hmm. So we're always focusing on the vision. What is the heart's desire? So that's the first thing. Then the next question, of course, is the third story. Well, if this is what you want, this is where you are, why don't you have it? And this is where the magic begins to happen, because people have a yeah, but story. And the yeah, but story is, well, I would have it if only, or because, or the subtle things like clutter, procrastination. Suddenly you find yourself watching endless cat videos on YouTube. You know, there's always something that's in the way, because if there wasn't, you'd have it. So what we start to ask is, you know, what's your yeah, but story? What's the thing you tell yourself that keeps you basically from the dream story? And where I go with that, what I'm always listening to when someone starts to tell me the yeah, but story, is how does that story serve them? And this is a super important piece of information because we tell stories for a reason. We don't just tell them because we have nothing else to do. Every story we tell, the good stories, the bad stories, the challenging stories, every story we tell serves a purpose.
Well,
okay?
wouldn't the yeah, but story always kind of serve the purpose of the sort of letting us off the hook from fulfilling the dream story?
Absolutely. And here's the interesting thing. If you have a very, very focused dream story, or you can really connect the emotions, because emotions, quite frankly, and for any of your listeners out there that have ever gone out and bought something incredibly expensive and pretty useless, you know, there was no practical reason for buying that, you know, pair of Manolo Blahnik high heel shoes, but man, they made me feel so good. So emotions are what we focus on. That's what gets us to take action, and then we justify it basically with our brain. But even when we're telling the story that justifies why we don't have what we have, there's a story underneath that. So I'll give you an example. I've been speaking since I was 12 years old. I gave my first speech to a Rotary Club when I won a prize in the California State Science Fair. And that moment when I walked up in front of the podium and there were 150 people in the room and I had their undivided attention for like 5 minutes. Now, I came from a family where undivided attention was pretty hard to get. Very distracted parents. They didn't have a lot of time for us. And so we didn't get a lot of attention. And having that opportunity to stand in front of the audience was like, whoa, this is so cool. But when I became professional and I started speaking as part of my work, I wasn't getting the response. I wasn't connecting with people the way I knew I could. And so I started working with my own coach about what was happening. And I had a lot of reasons why. Well, you know, they're not really interested in what I have to say, blah, blah, blah. But when I drilled it down, when I got to the very core, what I recognized was there was a part of me that at my very deepest level really did believe that nobody cared what I had to say. And because of that, it felt unsafe, it felt scary, and it felt painful. So here I was as an adult, speaking, being on social media, putting myself out there, putting my opinions out there, but always holding back, always keeping the juicy stuff to myself because I was really afraid. And because of that, I wasn't making the impact that I knew I wanted to make. I wasn't connecting with people at a deep, deep level. And we all have those stories because at the core, we all want love, peace, security. We want those core values. We want to be able to feel like we're safe in the world and that who we are as we are is good enough. And when we begin to understand that and we start to look at what we want and we start to see how we create resistance, that's when we can ask that question. Because what happens to people is they say, oh, I'm not having the success I want. I must not know enough, or I must not be doing the right things, or, you know, other people are better at it than I am, or, you know, it's a saturated market. But you know as well as I do that every single person has a unique voice, and that voice is necessary. That voice needs to be heard. And so we have to understand what's holding us.
Hey everyone, my apologies for the interruption, but I need to pause real quick just to thank our sponsors and partners who make this show possible. Today I want to point out a partner of ours. It's a piece of software that we use called Contactually. Contactually is a CRM, and I know that when most people hear the word CRM, they let out a collective groan, because if they're a marketer or a salesperson, they probably have these painful memories of multiple months of setting up, reporting issues, unintuitive interfaces, just awful experiences. And realistically, most salespeople just want to be able to visualize their pipeline and keep in touch with the people who matter and who are important. How hard should that really be? But I'll tell you, when I think of CRM, I actually think of something different, because I'm staying top of mind with my network and I'm keeping in touch with my prospects. And when I meet someone at an event, I'm going to have a wealth of information about them and an email in their inbox by the next morning. How do I do it? Contactually. Contactually is a CRM that is designed to maintain relationships and close deals. I can personally tell you that it has been wonderful for our business. For small businesses and individual salespeople, Contactually is the CRM you've been waiting for. It took me about 3 to 5 hours to set it up initially, and after that, I was keeping in touch with about 30 to 50 more people per week, and no, I am not exaggerating. So if you don't have a CRM or you're unhappy with your current CRM, try Contactually, totally risk-free for 30 days. If you hate it, you've lost nothing. But if you love it, trust me when I tell you that it pays for itself faster than you can believe. Learn more and try it for free by visiting truevoicemedia.com/CRM. Whoa. Okay, wow, I have so many, many thoughts on this. This is all about that creative exploration that you were talking about. These are the stories that you have to investigate in yourself, and I'd imagine it helps to have an outside perspective like a coach. So just to recap those, we said there's the challenge story, the dream story, the yeah, but story. What was the fourth story?
So here's the interesting thing. There is a fourth story for everyone, and I call it the unexpected story. And the reason that I call it the unexpected story is that it's not the story that you have direct control over. It's the story that shows up for you when you commit to your dream story and you are willing to take that inner journey to understand what the resistance is that's blocking you. Because what I know about doing this work, and with hundreds of clients that I've coached, is we can only create a dream based on the amount of resistance we have. So if you think of resistance as a really dirty window that you're looking through, you don't see the totality of the vista in front of you because you're obscured. There's just too much junk on the window. As you begin to do this inner work, as you begin to clean up the things that are holding you back, it begins to expand your vision. So if you're looking through a dirty window, your only dream may be to actually have a clear view. But once you do this work, all of a sudden it's like, holy moly, there's an ocean out there, there's mountains, there's amazing people. And so the unexpected story is that preface. You'll hear people say this all the time, in my wildest dreams, I never imagined this would happen. In my wildest dreams, I never thought that this would be the outcome. And you see it over and over and over again. And it's that connection to the powers greater than ourselves. It's synchronicity, it's coincidence, it's the right person at the right time, and it begins to unfold for us when we commit to believing in ourselves and knowing that we have purpose, we have passion, and we have an absolute God-given right to be who we are in this world and make a difference.
So in the context of how storytelling is often told in my industry, is that it's about taking your marketing message and just packaging it up into a narrative. And I think what I'd like to point out is what you've really built here with the way you just explained this is actually a much more powerful framework for brands to tell their story, and also for people to tell their stories, and also for people to understand their own stories. Because what it looks like to me is that if I'm looking at this through the lens of a brand, which I work with a lot of different brands, and I have to talk to them, they bring up storytelling, and I have to advise them. And I'm thinking, if you're a brand and you understand your audience's challenge story that they're telling themselves, and you understand their dream story, and you understand their yeah, but story, and if you can somehow understand that what their dream story would be, what that unexpected story could look like, now you're telling a story that they're going to be open to because you're speaking in the story that they're telling themselves. So that's the first thing that immediately occurred to me when you've run through these four. The next thing is that if when you look at the concept of being vulnerable and being open and being able to connect with other people, that doesn't happen when you're telling a false story. It happens when you're telling a real story. And that's when you understand your challenge. It's when you clearly and explicitly state your dreams. It's when you know your yeah, but you know it well enough that you're willing to confront it and overcome it. And I think that in sales conversations, in marketing conversations, and in networking, in just getting to know people and grow yourself as part of a social circle, each of these stories, I think, can be massively important to what your outcomes wind up being for yourself, for your interactions with other people, and if you're a brand, your relationship with your customers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
Absolutely.
each and every one of these is, I think, incredibly important. And for any brands that are out there, I'd invite you just at this point, we're going to keep talking from here, but pause, go back to the beginning and re-listen to this, because I think each of those four is an incredible framework to walk yourself through when looking at your prospects and clients, when you're looking at your employees, when you're looking at yourself, your own brand story. I mean, this is an amazing framework. So, thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. So, our audience is a mixture of different people. You know, we have some solopreneurs and small business people. We have some medium-sized companies. We have a few enterprise people that listen to this show, and that we've had the chance to connect with. But I want to talk for a minute about something you brought up towards the beginning that I think we can dig into for the solopreneurs and the entrepreneurs that listen to this show. And that's this idea of hearing that voice inside of us that tells us when we're on the right track for that dream story, that giggle. And I wrote a post that I'm actually going to link in the show notes and I'm going to send to you called How to Find Your True Love and Die Happy, where I likened finding your perfect and ideal career to finding the partner of your dreams, that essentially it's this process of trial and error where you listen to your heart and you go for that thing that I even say in it is like a childlike giggle inside of you. And you get there and then you find out what you liked about it and what you didn't like about it. And then you move forward and learn from that. And eventually you'll find your way towards what I'm assuming you would call the unexpected story, which is that you keep following the thing to the thing to thing, and then you've got the story. So I want to talk for a bit about this creative exploration that you went through when you got to that point and you realized you didn't want to double down on the career that you had, and you want to do something different. When you're talking with solopreneurs, small business people, entrepreneurs, and they're feeling that, I don't want to call it hopelessness, but they're hitting that entrepreneur moment where they're not sure if they're on the right track. They're scared. Maybe they're down to their last few dollars in the bank account, and they can't figure out if they're supposed to be pushing forward. How do you respond to those conversations?
Well, there's, obviously it's a complex thing. I mean, if I have an entrepreneur that's, down to her last $2, the first thing I'm going to do is, how do we get revenue? That has to be always the perfect thing, because people need to be safe. They need to feel secure. If that's not the most primary thing, if they're in a place where it's like, yeah, I'm doing this and I'm kind of limping along and it's not lighting me up, then the question that I always want to take people to is, what are your values? What are the core values? We all have values inside of us that literally are the road markers to how we live a successful life. For me, my highest values are freedom, play, and integrity. And so everything that I do has to afford me a level of freedom. I have to have that in my life. Probably why I work for myself. It has to be playful, which is interesting because the work that I do is very deep, very transformational, but I have to bring in an element of playfulness and lightness because otherwise it's like way too heavy for everybody. And I hold a very strong level of integrity. And if I violate any of those are deal breakers. So if I'm doing work that's not in alignment with those values, I'm going to hit a wall. So one of the things that I always work with people is, what are your top values? How do they drive your life? How do they show up? And what happens when you don't operate within those values? So that's a really important part for everyone.
Cool. So let me just press on that for just a second, because when you say values, I understand what you're saying. I'm very value driven in the way that I run my business, in the way that I look at my lifestyle, the things that are important to me. I've done a lot of that self exploration, but what I've found is that I often will talk with people and I'll ask them this question, like, what's your passion? Like, what really gets you going? What are you excited about? And oftentimes they'll say back to me, well, I don't know. And the same way, I can imagine that this question of what are your values could immediately, because I don't think, what we're talking about here is not what we are schooled in. This is not how we're taught to live our lives through the system, let's say. So how do you even address that when someone doesn't even know where to start with that? What are my values? I don't know. I want to be able to, have enough money to eat. That could be a value in their mind. But how do you take them through discovering what that is?
So here's the thing. a lot of people understand the concept of projection. You look at somebody else and they do something really awful, and people will tell you, yeah, well, that's a part in yourself that you just don't recognize. So the reason that person's irritating you is because you do the same thing, you just don't see it. So as humans, we have this capacity to recognize in other people the things we can't recognize in ourselves. That door swings both ways. So what I have found, and I have this really really fun exercise I call the imaginary dinner party. And I take people through an exercise to help them imagine the six coolest people they ever wanted to invite to a dinner party. And it's a little bit or elaborate. But the point is each one of the people that they pick holds a gift or a talent or something that they admire. And so we create a beautiful, colorful sheet of it, and there's a whole lot of things that we do in it. But the context is that there is commonality there. And so if you look at all the things that you see in other people that you admire and you respect, those things are within you. You would not be able to recognize them if you did not have them at some level. So for me personally, when I first started doing this work, there were a couple of people in the world that were doing extraordinary work around storytelling, and I so admired them. And one of them, in one of her podcasts, basically said, if there is something you see me do that you absolutely are in love with, that capacity is inside of you. So when people say, well, I don't know what my values are, that's not a problem for me because I have this great exercise and I can just take you through. And the core of it is look at who you admire, look at who you care about, make a list of the people that you absolutely would love to have in your world, real or imagined, living or dead, make a list of them and the qualities that you admire about them. And if you do that, you will see a pattern, you will see a commonality, and those qualities are within you. And honestly, when I do this exercise, especially with people that are really stuck and not feeling like they know themselves, and you point out to them that these are their qualities, there is this magic moment when they begin to fall in love with themselves because they are being shown the qualities within them that they have that nobody ever acknowledged and they never recognized. And honestly, sometimes it's like, wow, I would do this work for free because that's an amazing moment when somebody finally comes home to their own extraordinariness.
Yeah, so I'm in love with this concept, and it's making I'm thinking of this visual image where I'm trying to figure out, based on what you're saying, how much of storytelling is looking back on the story that was and trying to explain it, and how much of it is creating the story that could be in the future. And I think the answer is that it's both, because I think what you've described in some ways is looking back on the things that we tell ourselves and the things that have happened and how that frames who we are today, and then looking at who we want to be and what are our values and where we want to go, and actually not telling that story in the sense that we're trying to explain something that happened, but instead building that story for the future.
Yeah. And I think sometimes where I tend to focus, at least from a coaching perspective, because I'm always wanting to move people into that positive story, into that future-based story. What is the story that will support them and encourage them and hold them going forward is wherever the story is getting stuck or wherever the outcome doesn't match the story. Like I have this desire, I want to build my business, I want to double my income, I want to whatever, and I'm not having that happen, then there is a story somewhere that is the roadblock. And so we have to get curious. And the one thing that I tell people is we have such an inner critic. We have that negative voice. And people say, well, what's the first thing that I can do? Give me one tip that I can take that will change things for myself. And I tell them, get out of criticality and judgment, which is either or. It's black or white, good or bad. You're right, I'm wrong, whatever that is. Get out of that and shift into wonder and curiosity. So wonder and curiosity is the both and. It gives you the possibility of, well, this is where I am, and what else is possible? So, for example, if you might say, hey, I have this desire, I want to meet my numbers and grow my audience to, you know, whatever level amount. And then you ask the question, wow, isn't it interesting? This is a curiosity piece. Every time I say I want to do XYZ, I notice that I do this other thing. I knew that I notice what I'm doing is not in alignment with the goals that I have. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what that's about. And if you ask that open-ended question, your brain has absolutely no other function than to find an answer. And it will begin to sort for a response. And that's what's so exciting about the brain function, is if you ask an open-ended question, if you stay in curiosity, if you stay in that place of wonder, wow, isn't this interesting? I wonder what's happening here. I wonder what else is possible. Then your brain will automatically begin to look for answers. And you said something earlier, and I wanted to come back to it because I think this is a really important point. People always ask the question, how do I know that I'm receiving guidance? How do I know I'm really pulling from my inner wisdom versus just that chatty, annoying voice in my head? And this is what I always say. Your inner wisdom, your guided voice, your truest self is very succinct. It says things like, you need to rest. It's time to eat. Finish that report. Hawaii in the spring. It doesn't carry on like your inner critic, which goes, oh my God, I can't believe you're so stupid. I can't believe you did it. That voice, the really chatty voice, the one that just blah, 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 that's not your truth. Your truth is very short, very succinct, and it could be a sensation, it could be a vision, it could be an auditory sound, depending on what your primary sensory perception is. But it's not long-winded, and it doesn't go on forever. It's very short, it's very succinct, and it tells you exactly what it is you should do. Now, whether you choose to listen to it or not, that's a whole other conversation. But
yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for bringing that one back up. I mean, I gotta say, I think we have covered a lot of ground in this one, and I personally would like to, I know that we both have to run on this. I'd like to wrap on this point right here, because I think that in this, we have a beautiful episode that is concise. It's got everything in it. And I'd love to invite you back to talk more about story time at some point. But I think that this actually is a perfect point to wrap, because I think this is a well put together episode. I'm really happy about this conversation we've had.
Great.
You cool with that?
Very cool.
But you'd come back?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay, so Shannon, tell people where they can go and be social with you, learn more about what you do, learn more about how you help people tell their stories, and where they can go play with horses.
Oh, we didn't even cover story and horses. That could be a whole episode right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have so much we could talk about. Like, this whole thing has been awesome. And I think just having these four concise points, the little thing for the solopreneurs, I'd love to have you back and talk more, because I think there's a lot more material here for us.
Absolutely. So I would love to offer your listeners a really cool gift. They can find me at shannonpresson.com. Shannon, Presson, PRESSON.com /free gift. And if you follow that link, it will give you a 3-part video series that will literally take you through the four stories and give you a set of questions that you can ask yourself. So, you know, what is my challenge story? And there's some specific questions. What's my dream story? What's my yeah, but story? And the video will take you through the questions and help you begin this journey of self-discovery. And then, of course, at some point, if you're like, oh, wow, okay, I can see there's more here and I'd really like some guidance, I would love to connect with you. You can find me on Facebook, Shannon Presson. You can find me on LinkedIn. So, yeah, I would love to connect with your audience, but absolutely log on, get the free gift, shannonpresson.com. /free gift, and check out the video series. It could be a really great introduction to learning more about yourself and what may potentially be holding you back.
Awesome. And then I strongly recommend all of my listeners right now, go and do that. And if you are just a solopreneur struggling, look at it through that lens. If you're a person that's in a sales capacity or marketing capacity, and you're a solo kind of person, think about the stories of yourself, think about your audience's stories, because that's going to put you in a better position to connect with them. And then if you're a brand, for God's sakes, of all the people that are listening, if you are working for a brand, please go through and do these exercises and do it as your audience, do it as your customer, and try and figure out how you can tell a story that actually resonates one that resonates with them, but that is also completely in alignment and authentic with who you are as a brand. So please go and do that. Shannon, thank you so much for coming on. I really hope you'll come back and we can do this again and talk more about storytelling. We'll talk about horses, body language, all the different things. I just want to, again, say thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it, Jeff.
Cool. Everybody out there listening, thanks so much. Come back again for another episode. I promise I'm going to keep getting awesome guests like this. I don't know how it happens. They just fall out of the sky for me to have incredible conversations. So keep coming back and listening.
You've been listening to the True Voice Media Podcast, and you made it all the way to the end of the episode. I'm proud of you. But now that you're here, this is what we're going to need you to do. First of all, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and give us a rating. If you don't know where to start, go to truevoicemedia.com/feedback. Next, if you're not yet a subscriber, it's time you fix that. Head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast to subscribe by iTunes, Stitcher, or email. If you really want to show us some love, visit our partners and sponsors who help make this show possible. I know the show feels free, but trust me, it's not. I sure ain't done publishing these episodes, so I sure hope you're not done listening. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.